Christianity is not a passive religion. People often think that Christianity is passive. Sadly, the world has tried to define Christianity for us. The world is telling the church how it ought to act. The world is telling the church how we should behave and what we should have. The brand that is religion, the brand of Christianity that is religion, is very passive. It's all about the silence and the genuflecting and all that type of thing. You see, Christianity is not about that. Real Christianity, the kind we find in the Bible, is far, far from passive. It is an aggressive, faith-filled adventure with God. See, the world wants us to think it's normal for Christians to keep their faith to themselves. After all, it's a very private matter, they say. The world wants us to think that those who speak up and operate by faith are wrong to make public this private issue, and that it's so private, and everybody should be private about that. Jesus wasn't very private. He came and publicly professed what he had to say. He came and died very publicly for everyone to see. In fact, as Paul was speaking of the crucifixion in Acts chapter 26, verse 26, he was speaking to King Festus, and he says this. He said, "For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I speak freely, for I'm persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner." He said, "Hey, Festus, this thing wasn't hidden. This was very public. Everybody knows about this." Sometimes Christianity is like the elephant in the room, isn't it? People are afraid to talk about it. I'll tell you, we need to talk about Christianity. We need to talk about our faith. We need to talk about the things of God. We need to know that. There was a time in this country when sin was done in secret and in the corner. Now it seems like the sin is the thing that is open, and they do it on Main Street in the bright light of the day. We need to understand that Christianity is not about being silent. The reason they want us to be quiet is because the world does not want to be reminded of their sin. They have this idea that if they get the sin told to them, that if that happens to them, then they'll have to repent of it. But we are not to be passive, but aggressive with our faith. We're to stand up and be counted. See, I'm not talking about being rude. I'm not talking about being mean to people. I'm talking about being unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Unashamed. Standing in faith. Unashamed. The apostle said in Romans 1 verse 16, he said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." This word ashamed is an interesting word. The root of this word ashamed, not the actual word here, but one of the root words of this, means to be deformed. It means to be deformed to the place that you're ugly and you're not willing to go out in the public. And so what the apostle is saying, he's saying, we're not deformed. The gospel doesn't make us deformed. It doesn't make us something that is ugly to look at. In fact, the gospel should make us very, very attractive. But there's supernatural power connected to the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's power in it. He said, it is the power of God to salvation. There's power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is hid to the lost because the God of this world has blinded their eyes. See, we must not be ashamed. We must carry the hope to the lost world. We are not ashamed. Christianity is not passive. It is not inactive. Faith is not a passive force. In fact, last week we defined faith this way. It is an active, aggressive, forward-directed force. Faith in God is active. It's aggressive. It's forward-looking. Faith, while it has a view to what Jesus has done, it is always looking forward to the manifestation of the fulfillment of the Word of God as we stand looking for what God promised us. I read this. Someone said this week. I thought this was awesome. They said, I think it was Willie George, the pastor of a church up in Tulsa. He said, "The cross may appear to be a passive submission to martyrdom, but in reality, it is the most violent blow ever delivered to evil." Faith appears to be very passive to the world, but faith is violent. Faith will overthrow the way the world operates. The Bible talks about a fight of faith. weapons of warfare. You see, this isn't a passive thing. Christianity isn't meant for us to just be wimps and run over for the rest of our lives. Christianity is an aggressive force. I like Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Remember when Peter and John were arrested for praying for the guy at the temple, and they were yelling at him and stuff, and it says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." That's what being with Jesus does to people. If you've been with Jesus, you're going to be bold. You're going to be aggressive. Proverbs 28:1 says, "The righteous are bold as a lion." There ought to be boldness in the house of God. Boldness that comes from the house of God. The fact is, we need to be bold about Jesus, bold about the things of God, because one day we're going to stand in judgment and we're going to be bold in the day of judgment, the Bible says, because of what Jesus has done. When Paul asked prayer of the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 6, he didn't ask them to pray for more faith or to pray for more power. He said, "Pray for that I can have more boldness." Because it's that aggressive boldness that's going to change the world. It's that aggressive faith that's going to change the circumstances around your life. So we know this. It's going to take a miracle for us to do what God has called us to do. But we must be aggressive in our faith. We must be aggressive in what God has called us to do. Let's look at our text this morning from Mark chapter 9, verse 22 and 23. This is from the Message Bible today. It says this. It says, the guy says to Jesus, we've talked about him every week. He said to Jesus, "If you can do anything, do it." That's amazing. Jesus, if you can do anything, do it. That's why a lot of Christians pray. If you can do anything, just do it. He said, "Have a heart and help us." See, there are a lot of people out there that think that God doesn't have a heart. That he if he had a heart, he'd help me. But look what Jesus says. And Jesus said, if, I love that, if, he said, there are no ifs among believers. Anything can happen. There are no ifs among believers. If we're believers, it's not if, it's when. If, she said, if. Let's look at the King James. I like the way the King James says it too. It says, the guy said, "But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." God, if you can do something, if you can just do something to help me. And Jesus says, if you can believe. That is the only if. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. We must simply be people that learn how to believe. We've got to be people of faith. There are no ifs. There are no ifs. Jesus said, all things are possible if we believe. He also said, all things are possible with God. So we recognize this morning, that means nothing is impossible. Right? I mean, that's what Jesus said. I didn't say it. He's the one who said it. The key factor is belief. We believe the word. We believe what it says. You see, this is what I believe today. It is possible to reach Lubbock, Texas with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is possible for revival to come to our city. It is possible for God to use me. Say that out loud. It is possible for God to use me. Oh, say that. That's good, isn't it? For God to use me. See, it is possible. All things, Jesus said, they're all possible if we can believe. It's possible for God to use this church to effect a move of God in our city, even in our nation. It's possible. I want you just to believe this with me. It is possible for us to turn our city right side up from the inside out. It's possible. Yeah, but it's pretty hard. It is possible. All we have to find out is what he said and begin to believe that. Do you know it is possible for you to overcome that bad habit? That thing that has held you in its grip since you were a little kid? It's possible to be free. It's possible. It's possible for you to be healed, even though the doctor said you can't. It's possible for you to get out of debt. It's possible for you to have a great job. It's possible that you could enjoy and love your spouse. It's possible. The Bible says all things are possible. It's possible, parents, to raise great children in spite of the circumstances that surround you. It is possible, according to Jesus, to break the generational curse that's been on your family since your grandma and your great-great-grandma and great-great-granddaddy. It's possible to break it with you. I'm going to tell you right now, you're looking at a man who the curse was broken off of. If I could tell you my family genealogy, in my family's history, there's a whole lot more talk about prison than there's talk about church. God broke it. It's possible. There is really, based on my family history, there's no reason I ought to be up here. It's possible. It's big. It's not me. It's God. See, we've been talking about this impossible thing. We've talked about many topics. You can go to our website and you can sign up for our podcast, which is an awesome thing. You can just listen to it on your phone or your computer. You can also just listen to it straight from the Podbeam, where it comes from, on the internet. You can also order CDs. We give them to you for free. F-R-E-E, free. We decided one time that we don't charge people to come to church, so we probably don't need to charge people for the CD that we preach on. So we want to be a blessing to people. It's free. You can order any CD. You can go to our website, and you can look at all the sermons, and you can order any one of them. We'll be glad to get it to you. Last week, we began talking very practically about how it works. We looked at faith. We found out that if you have faith, you will say something. On the heels of faith will come grace. Grace is the enabling power that brings the victory. Let's look at this verse of Scripture again in Romans chapter 4, verse 16. This is the King James Bible. It says, therefore it. Now, it in this verse is the promise of God. It in this verse is what is impossible. It is the thing that God has said that hasn't been manifest yet. Therefore, it is of faith. We talked about faith last week. That it might be by grace. Let's make sure we understand something first this morning. Which comes first for you? Faith or grace? Faith. That's what the Bible says. It is of faith that it might be by grace. To the end. Here's the end. That the promise might be sure to all the seed. In other words, this is good for everybody. This isn't just good for the preachers. This is good for everybody. Not only that which is of the law, but that which also is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now, this is talking about those who believe. We are the believers. It's referring to receiving what is impossible. All right? The result of faith is in God's promise is the release of grace that empowers us to get there, to have what it says. Let's look at the Amplified. I like the way it says it. The Amplified makes sense sometimes for us, even more sense. Therefore, inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith, and look at this, and depends entirely on faith. That's interesting. In order that it might be given as an act of grace, unmerited favor. Now, how does that even work? It says to make it stable and valid and guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the devotees and adherents of the law, but also those who share the faith of Abraham, who is thus the father of us all. The Bible declares in Galatians that if you believe in Jesus, then you are the seed of Abraham. Let's make that very clear this morning. You are the seed of Abraham, so this does apply to you. And the promise that God has made. Well, what promise, Pastor? Everything in this book is promised to you. Everything that He, by His Spirit, has told you that agrees with what's in this book is promised to you. It all comes exactly the same way. The same way you got born again is the same way every promise can come to you. They come by you believing and the grace being released into your life. Now, we said last week that faith levels the playing field, that all have access to the grace because all have the measure of faith. We said there's a faith that has been custom measured for you. There is never a reason for a believer to say, I just don't have the faith. The faith, the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, that God has given to every man the measure of faith. It's already been measured for you. There's already tailor-made faith just for you. For you to say, I don't have faith, is what you're saying really is, I've not taken the time to put the faith that God gave me to use. And I don't know how to do that yet. So we talked about that at length last week. I can't re-preach it, even though it's one of my favorite subjects. We talked about that. We said that faith is the channel for the grace to work in our lives. Believing. The Bible says, and we're not going to read the verse here, but in Romans 5:2, it tells us that our access to grace is faith. It's like, that's the password. Believing is the password to get to the grace that God has. So we want the impossible. The impossible, Jesus said, becomes possible when we believe. Believing then releases grace. So before I get to grace, let me do this. I want to talk about faith. I'm going to finish up about faith. Last week we said that we talked about the spirit of faith. We talked about the law of faith. We talked about how it works, how that the law of faith overcomes the law of the curse the same way that the law of lift and thrust overcome gravity. And so I had a lot of experience with that yesterday, the law of lift and thrust. We went up and down several times in airplanes yesterday. But we looked at how it works. We found that faith will always be spoken. But let me just say this. We got to understand that it's not just speaking the word. The Bible is pretty clear about that. Not only do we speak it, and you got to speak it. But here's where people miss this thing. We speak it, and we speak it until faith rises in us that gives us the impetus to do something. You don't get faith to sit on the couch. You don't have to have faith to sit on the couch. Well, you have faith, the couch won't give way, but that's a different type. Faith, faith is not just faith to do nothing. Faith is faith to do something. All right? So, we have to follow faith with action. Many confess and never act correspondingly. There needs to be corresponding action to what you believe. Now, I'm going to teach you here for just a quick second. There's a huge difference between works of the flesh and works of faith. A lot of Christians, they get this thing in their mind, okay, I've got to do something to prove to God that I believe. No, no, and again, no. You act on what you believe because you believe it. Too many Christians are trying to do something to convince God to give them something. Does that make sense? Oh, God, I want a new car, so I'm going to fast for 3 days. You're just going to get hungry. Unless God said, I want you to have this car, but you're going to have to break some things off your life. And the way I'm going to do that is you fast 3 days. Now, there's one thing, it's good to fast just to consecrate yourself to the Lord. That's fine. But fasting needs to be based on, faith needs to be based on what God has already said. Y'all with me here? And it needs to be corresponding action. The action needs to correspond to what you believe based on what God has said. Many people, by His stripes, I was healed. And so right now, I'm not taking any more medicine. That's fine if you really believe that. As long as the devil didn't push you into that. Y'all sure are quiet. I've got to have action that corresponds to what I believe. I believe that God is... See, this may be all you need. God, I believe that You are my source, my only source. And I believe that You heal me, and I don't have faith at this minute to not go to the doctor. Doctors are God's agents. I'm just going to tell you, a doctor works for God. They may not know it, but they work for God. It's okay to go to the doctor. Well, by God, I believe that I can see without my glasses. Well, anybody know where my car keys are? I'm not giving them to you until you put your glasses back on. Until you have faith, until your action corresponds with what you believe, see? Many people just assume and presume different things. Oh, I was watching so-and-so on TV, and this lady said she believed God for $1 million, and so she gave that preacher $1,000, and she got $1 million. Here's my $1,000. You may not have faith for that. You may only have $100 faith, and you can give it to the pastor. I'm kidding. No, I'm not. You can give it to me. That's good. See, we need to make sure that our faith, that our action corresponds with our faith. But there must be corresponding action to what I believe. If I really believe it, I'm really going to do something. In order for me to know what to do, I've got to walk in the Spirit and walk in the Word so I'll know what to do so things can happen. So faith is always going to have action to go with it. Here's what the Bible says. James 2, verse 14, it says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works? Can faith save him?" That's what that said. Here's what it says. It says, can faith... Let's make sure we understand what the verse says. Can faith that does not have action save a person? Can faith without corresponding action do you any good? The answer is no. If I have faith and I believe God to give me the ability, and He will do this every time you ask Him, to win somebody to Jesus, then I need to put the action with it and go look for somebody to win. Y'all with me? Oh, we're going to have some fun when we get to grace because y'all looking at me right now. Kind of funny. Amplified Bible, same verse says, "What is the use, profit, my brethren, for anyone to profess to have faith if he has no good work to show for it? Can such faith save the soul?" If you truly believe God, you will truly do something because you believe God. This is simple, really. It's not complicated. If I believe God is... If I believe that God will deliver me from debt, then tithing and giving offerings should be simple to me. If I don't believe God, even though I say I do, then I won't tithe and I won't give. Y'all just smile, you know. See, because we have to learn how to do what we really believe to do. The Bible says the Bible says we're supposed to forgive people. Well, you've got to act on those things. You've got to do what you're supposed to do. James 2, verses 17 and 26. 17 says, "Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." Verse 26, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." If you have faith that only sits and does nothing, then your faith is dead, according to that verse of Scripture. The Bible, that's talking about Abraham. We talk about Abraham, that we have his blessing. Here's the example in James 2:22, talking about Abraham. This is the Amplified Bible. You see that his faith, Abraham's faith, was cooperating with his works, and his faith, now look at this, was completed and reached its supreme expression when he implemented it by good works. We're not into dead works, we're into good works, and those are the works that the Word tells us to do. They're the works that we believe to do, and so faith causes me to do something. Oh God, I believe with all my heart you've called us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. Those that believe and are baptized shall be saved. Those that refuse the gospel will be damned. I believe, God, today that believers cast out devils. I believe today that believers speak with new tongues. Because that's what, you know, you're making that confession. I believe, Lord, if we take up serpents and we remove them, they can't harm us. And you go through the whole confession. I believe believers lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. Can I tell you something? If you're not preaching the gospel, if you're not casting out devils, if you're not laying your hands on the sick, if you're not doing those things, you don't really believe it. Woohoo! This is exciting, huh? Where do I need to go from that? If I believe, I do. I believe. that the Bible way of disciplining children is the right way. And therefore, I will spank them because that's what the Bible says. Might as well step on everybody's toes. Going to get it all out. Because if I believe it and don't do it, then I don't believe it. My faith is dead. I believe I'm supposed to love people. And I believe, everybody knows that, right? And I believe that love, that faith works by love, and I know that's true. I really believe it. That means that what Uncle Herbie did to me when I was six, I have to forgive him for. No matter how I feel like it scarred me for the rest of my life. This is good stuff. It's down to earth here. See, we made faith be this ethereal thing that's out there somewhere. Oh, I just believe in God. Really? Are you doing anything? I know people, and they pray a lot. Oh, God, we pray for our city. God, we pray that you just win the lost in our city. But they don't go win the lost. Oh, God, we pray for our pastor. We ask you to straighten him out. Well, maybe you don't help the pastor. That probably straighten him out a lot. You guys are great at it. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about a lot of other people. You guys help and you show up and you go to work. There's no problem with that. But we just need to know that faith has works. Good works are the outworking of faith that already exists on the inside of me. And so that just shows I'm just working out what I already believe. The good works can't save me, but they're the result of me getting saved. Amen. This is really good. Thank you, Pastor, for preaching this to us. Now we've got to figure out how the grace part works. Acting on the Word brings an increase of revelation into our lives. You can't fully grasp the Word you don't know yet until you act on the Word you do know already. And when you do that, now grace can come. Now, let's talk about grace for just a moment. We said last week, our part is believing, God's part is grace. We believe and grace comes. We've already read the verse of Scripture that says that it has to be by faith that it might be by grace. There's a lot being said about grace these days. A lot. I mean, it's everywhere. And I'm obviously not opposed to grace. I like it very, very much. But let's get a scriptural reality check here about grace, what it means, what it is, how it works, because it's a great thing, and we want that. This morning, I just want you to know the truth, and I want you to be able to operate in the truth. Many people get disappointed in faith. They get disappointed in grace because they don't have a foundation in the Word to tell them about that. And I'm your pastor. I love you very much, and I want you to succeed. This is good stuff right here. Grace is not passive either. We have an idea that faith is passive, and grace is even more passive than the faith. All right? But we understand that Jesus said all things are possible to him that believes. We read that if it's of faith, now grace can come because grace is released as we believe. Today, there's a lot of misinformation about it. Many think this. Grace means not having to do anything. Anybody? I was raised thinking that. If it's grace, that means I don't have to do anything. That's not what grace is. Grace means I can't earn anything. And there's a difference between those two statements. I can't earn grace, but I've got to receive grace. Grace doesn't mean doing nothing. Grace means positioning myself. Grace is very, very important. I can't earn the grace. Grace brings to me the understanding or the ability to operate in the gift that I've received. Grace brings to me God's favor. We'll talk about that as we go. We got to understand that grace is not just sitting on the couch, though. God provides the grace. We got to do something with the grace. Let me make sure we're clear here. Grace is there. There is grace right now for anything you could imagine. Anything. It's already there. Jesus already paid for it. Jesus already died, rose from the dead, seated at the right hand of God, and the grace is there for you. I mean, it's grace for you. There's grace for you to do anything that he's promised you. God provides the grace, but we got to do something with the grace he provides. Listen to these verses of Scripture. Galatians chapter 2, verse 21. Look what the Apostle Paul said. I do not frustrate the grace of God. Whoa. For if righteousness come by the law, then grace, then Christ is dead in vain. I do not frustrate the grace of God. Here's the reality. Righteousness is there for you now. The question is, are you going to receive the grace for the righteousness? Or is it going to be frustrated because you consider yourself a dirty, filthy, rotten sinner from now on? Because as long as you consider yourself and call yourself that, you're going to continue to act like that. But you must see that you have righteousness that didn't come by your deeds, but it came by you believing God, and then the grace was made manifest as you believed Him. All right, let's look at another verse of Scripture. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1. We then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. So those two verses tell us very clearly that grace can be frustrated, grace can be vain. Vain means empty. People are frustrating the grace of God because they think it's only useful to the new birth and now they never will use it again. And even then, if they used it properly, that's how they got born again, but they had to hear the word, which is the truth, they had to believe it, act on it, and grace came. Or was made manifest. The grace is already there. The grace is already there. The righteousness is already there. The faith is already in you. It's been tailor-made for you. You just have to develop it, build it, use it. The grace of God is available to all, but we must apply grace. It's only useful to those who will operate its supernatural ability. Are y'all with me here? Yeah, but Pastor, I just want to go home and watch football. And I want God's grace to open all the doors for me. That would do you no good if you're watching football. I like football, and I'm going to watch some today. But if grace opens the door, and I'm sitting on the couch and don't walk through the door, I just frustrated the grace. Woohoo! See, grace is really not, it's not something that I just do nothing. In my upbringing, that's what I thought I was supposed to do. I'm saved by grace, the Bible says. That's all I knew of that verse, but then I found out later it said through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. We'll look at it here in just one second. But understanding that grace is already there. It travels on this road, and the name of the road is faith. Because that's what we saw earlier. Okay, so when I believe grace will come, and if grace comes down that road, then I've got to be able to use the grace to do what I'm supposed to do. Let's read another couple of verses of Scripture. We said this one right here. This is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Before we read, let me just say, the grace is available to everybody, but we must learn to do what we're supposed to do. Grace is no value to a person who just sits there and does nothing. You do not need grace to do nothing. Does that make sense to you? See, I don't need grace if I'm not going to do anything. If all I'm going to do is sit on my couch, I don't need grace. Here's when you need grace. When you get in your car, you need grace. When you are on the other side of the world and you're preaching to people who have all manner of disease, they have all manner of poverty, and you're preaching to them the only hope that will get them to heaven because they're probably not going to live through the winter, when you're preaching that hope, the grace comes on those words that you are speaking. But the grace can't get on those words until you get there and say them. Not everybody's supposed to do that, I understand that. But grace can only get on what's going on. I hope that made sense. That was pretty good. Grace can only get on what's going on. It's effective when we use it. Grace is favor. That's what the word means, favor. God grants His favor so that we can do the impossible works that we couldn't otherwise do. Favor. There's no need for God to give me a favor if I'm not doing something with the favor He gave me. If I did you a favor and I gave you a $100 bill and all you did with the $100 bill was just set it on the table and never used it, you frustrated my grace. If I gave you a $100 bill and said, here, with this I want you to make your car payment, and you put it on the table and they came and repossessed your car and you never made your payment, my grace was in vain. I did you a favor, but you got to do something with my favor. Grace is favor. Favor is grace. How do we define the word grace? The religious translation is this: unmerited favor. That's accurate. It is favor that we cannot earn, but it's favor that we must walk in and use. You see, I have to know it's a favor from God. I didn't earn it. I can't get good enough, but I got to use this grace that He gives me. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith. We understand that. The grace comes on the heels of the faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Next verse says, not of works, lest any man should boast. In other words, I couldn't earn it. For, now here's why we have it. This is the for. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which He hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Here's the grace. The grace is God has a plan. The grace is God's plan is great. It is awesome. The grace is that when you got born again, not of your works, you didn't make it happen. Grace came now, and that grace is the empowerment for you to fulfill destiny in your life. Doors open that nobody can open. People grant you gifts that nobody else could grant to you. People are getting fired and you're keeping your job. People are going broke, you're getting rich. That's favor now. That's what grace does. God sends His grace not just to get you to heaven, even though that's an awesome part of it, but so He can get heaven to you so you can fulfill His call while you're here. So you don't have to be living in the curse, so you can be free to do what He called you to do. Ooh, man, grace is God's part. Faith is our part. I mean, we just got to believe Him. It's the same grace, the same favor that saves us, and that enables us to do the works. Here's where we mess up. Most people want the grace before there's faith. Amen, Pastor. I have grace now. What do you believe? I don't know. I believe I got grace now. Based on what? Well, based on what my preacher said when I was 7. Okay. What do you know what God said? Grace doesn't come before faith. Faith comes so grace can get to you. Here's how it works. You ready? This is very practical. There is, first of all, the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word was made manifest. The Word is first. What is the Word? The Word is reality. It is truth, according to Jesus. Truth is reality that exists always. Facts change, truth doesn't. We start off with the truth, the Word, the reality. You're healed, why? Because it's in the Word. You're delivered, why? Because it's in the Word. You are prospered, why? Because it's in the Word. That's the reality. What comes from the Word then? Faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. All right, as I hear the Word about my healing, as I hear the Word about my deliverance, as I hear the Word about my freedom from every addiction, every habit, as I hear the Word and I'm looking at it, I'm saying it, as I hear the Word, the truth, now faith builds in my life. Faith then will produce something. It'll produce, number one, actions of faith. If I believe that I'm delivered from crack, I don't have to take the action of going to the crack house. I take a different action. I go on a different block because I believe I'm delivered. I'm delivered, so I can go by there and I'm tough. I can. No, you can't yet. I found out. Just what I know. People who aren't addicted to crack don't go to crack houses. unless God specifically says, go and preach there. I'm going to tell you something. If you were addicted to crack, he'll probably get you to preach someplace else for a while. Amen. I just know that's true. So then, faith will produce action, and when I begin to take action, grace comes on that action. When I begin to take the action of faith, there's grace to do what I'm supposed to do. There's grace to do the good work that God called me to do. That's where the grace comes in. Grace isn't sitting on the couch. Grace is obeying God and knowing that God's power is on me being obedient and doing what I'm supposed to do. I hope this is good for some people. You know, we just have this idea that there's nothing to do, that grace is just nothing to do. We do nothing. Well, but I think we don't do anything. We have grace. No, we do. You see, grace, I talk to people about this sometimes. They come to me and they say, well, you know, we need money for this and this and this and this. But you know what the first question I ask them is? Do you tithe? The reason I ask that question is because that tells me something. The tithe is an action that releases grace. You want God to help you? You got to give God something to work with. That's too practical for me, Pastor. I think you don't have to. Well, do it your way. But I've known too many people. That doesn't mean if you don't tithe, you'll be broke all your life. Doesn't mean that at all. It just means you get it your way and you don't have God's help with it. And it becomes money that has curse attached to it. Okay? And so we understand that if I believe Him, I will act on what I believe because I believe Him, and now grace can get on it. Yeah, but isn't that works? Well, it's work of faith. It's the grace that enables me, empowers me to do the good works that God ordained before the world began. How did you get saved? Remember how you got saved? I was just sitting there in my chair and all of a sudden I was saved. It was the grace of God. No, it wasn't. Nobody gets saved that way. How do you get saved? You believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. And you say with your mouth, Jesus, be my Lord. And you mean it. And when you believe that and you say that, that action of faith that was in your heart produced what? Grace that saved you. Because if it was just based on you sitting there and based on God's predestined plan, there's no need to pray a prayer. We're wasting our time. If it's all based on, it's already done and grace is just there. If it's there, I can have it. I don't have to do anything for it. This is pretty serious stuff this morning. Either that or I'm not very funny because nobody smiles so far. All right, let me go on here. So grace is already in place. It's already there. It's just waiting to be released. It's like there's this channel of faith. When you believe, there's this channel. And when you believe, the Bible says you're going to act. And so you believe, and now, and you take this step of faith, grace is just rushing to you. And when you got born again, you took that, you said, I believe that Jesus is Lord. And the preacher said, if you believe that, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, raise your hand. You raised it. What happened? Ooh, grace just, I mean, you did something with what you believe. And you didn't want to walk down the aisle, but you did. You didn't want to get in the tank to get dunked, but you did. And God got all, you knew when you got in the tank that you were going to come up looking goofy. I've baptized a lot of people. Not one person came up, unless they were totally bald, came up with all their hair in place. Not one woman went down in there with a nice hairdo and came up with that same nice hairdo. There's not enough hairspray for that one. They come up and their makeup is messed up. Their whole, everything's messed up. But you know what? Grace came up on them because they obeyed Him. And when you just do what He says, things happen, grace is released. It's already there. Here's what the Bible says in John 1:16. I'll try to get to the end here. No, I got to back up. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. Look what this says. But by the grace of God, this is the Apostle Paul. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. This is what people, that's all that verse they use.
I am what I am by the grace of God. I'm a sorry old cussing fool. By the grace of God. Grace, you don't need grace to be a sorry old cussing fool. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. By the grace of God, I am what I am. You don't need grace to be an old sinner. Doesn't take grace. Does not take 1 ounce of grace to stay the way you are. Not 1 ounce. Here's what he said. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. He said, I didn't let it be in vain. I didn't just get grace and do nothing. He said, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. What was grace to Paul? Labor. He did something because the grace was there. And grace was an empowerment to this giant apostle of God to write these books of the Bible, to preach to the whole known world. The grace was there for him to do that. Now, you're not the Apostle Paul, and I'm not either. But there's tailor-made faith just for me. And when I begin to operate by faith in what God has called me to do, grace now is on everything that I'm doing. Well, Pastor, I kind of like that other kind of grace where I can just sit home and watch, you know, Little House on the Prairie all day. You don't need grace to watch Little House on the Prairie. You know, I can't even think you need, well, you don't even need grace anymore to change the channel. It's just all this. You see, we misunderstand what the Bible is saying. Here's what John 1:16 says. This is the Amplified Bible. For out of his abundance, out of his fullness abundance, we have all received, all had a share. We were all supplied with one grace after another and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing and even favor upon favor and gift heaped upon gift. The grace is already there. It's already been supplied. There's an abundance of grace that is yours. The abundance of favor of God that is yours. Man, now, because the grace is there, I need to get moving on that grace. Because I know when I obey Him, grace is there. Grace is in this step. Grace is here. Grace is here because I'm moving out on what God said. I'm not trying to believe, make something happen. I'm stepping out on what God said to me. I believe you. Lord, you told me. You told me. And now there's grace for all of that. That's where we have to be. We have to be in the place where we believe in God. Have you ever tried to steer a car that's not moving? You can't do it. I mean, you might could turn the steering wheel, but if it's not moving, you're not steering it. You can only steer a car that's moving. That's what the grace is. Man, when you start moving now, there's the grace to turn you. There's grace to take you. Your steps now are ordered. You can't have steps that are ordered of the Lord until you've taken some steps. I like this message. So we recognize that. Grace puts us in motion. Grace, grace. You see, we understand that if I do what He says, grace is all over it. When I did what He said, when I was 6 years old and I heard the preacher say, if you want Jesus in your heart, get up out of your chair and come down here. I ran down there. Wasn't very far. I was on the front row. I jumped up and I got down there. And that preacher said, do you want Jesus in your heart? And I said, yes, I do. I mean, I was passionate about getting Jesus in my heart. I mean, I was a dirty, filthy, rotten, no good sinner at six already. And he said, say this. You know what I did? I said that. You know what he did? Grace came. And all of a sudden, I was born again. Man, it was awesome. That's the way it works. The grace will come as we operate in what God has said. For grace to be effective, we need to be in a position not to frustrate it. We got to move. Titus 2, verses 11 through 13. Look what this says. For the grace of God... Now look at this. That bringeth salvation. Now, salvation here does not mean born again necessarily. It means rescue, deliverance. It means to do well, to make whole. It's talking about healing, anything that you need to be rescued from. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Why are some still bound? Grace is there. The grace is already there. He goes on to say, what's teaching us? Grace. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Grace is teaching me now. Grace is teaching me. As I step out on what I've heard from the Word, grace teaches me to live a godly life. Grace teaches me to deny the ungodliness. Grace teaches me to deny the lust. It's grace that's teaching me that, but I'm stepping out on what I know the Word says. Verse 13 goes on to say it this way, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Look what grace is doing. Grace here, in that passage of Scripture, grace is teaching. Grace is teaching us to deny the world. It's teaching us to live right. It's teaching us to look for Jesus. That's what grace is. It's doing something. Grace is doing something. I have a good friend who pastors a church in Amarillo. He tweeted this week. He said, grace does not remove the standard. It empowers you to keep the standard. Grace doesn't mean I don't have to live holy. Grace empowers me to live holy. Grace doesn't mean I don't have to pray anymore. Grace empowers me to pray. Grace empowers me to say no to worldly lusts. Grace empowers me to do the things that God told me to do. Because as I'm moving out on what God said, this power of grace now flows. I can't earn a drop of it. I simply believe what He said. I believe you, God, and you told me, and now I'm just going to go, and the grace comes to me. And when I'm stepping out like that now, there's a shield of grace all around me. And the favor of God is everywhere I go. I step here, and it's grace and favor. I step here, and there's favor. I step there, and there's favor. People are thinking no, but they say yes. Because the promise is yes. And I'm simply adding the amen by faith, and the grace is moving out wherever I go. See, this is for everybody. Anybody can walk in favor. Anybody can walk in faith. Let me read you one more passage of Scripture. Here's how grace works. Are you ready? Oh, man. We're still going to look at it. Acts chapter 12. Look what this is. Now, about that time, Peter's in prison here. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. That wasn't good. This isn't Jesus' half-brother. This is James the apostle. And because Herod knew it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, Peter, he put him in prison, delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth for the people. Just a minute. One thing you got to know. Four quaternions of soldiers means there are four sets of four soldiers. They're at the door. Everybody's taking a shift for 24 hours a day, so there are four guys at the door guarding it. Four big, mean Roman soldiers. If you came on Wednesday nights back in last winter, or winter we studied it, we looked at these soldiers. Four sets of four. And then, on top of that, there's two more inside the cell. We'll see with it in just a second. Two more are inside, and each of them are chained to him. 24 hours a day. Four soldiers out front, two soldiers in the cell with him. Let's read on to verse number 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Now, this is the difference between Peter and James. The church is praying for Peter. They apparently weren't praying for James. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between the two soldiers. This is one of the most amazing passages of Scriptures I've ever read in my life. What would you be doing if tomorrow morning they were going to execute you? He knows they're going to come and get him in the morning and kill him. What would you be doing? Would you be sleeping? No, probably. Well, maybe you would. I'm going to show you something. Why can he sleep? I'll tell you why he can sleep. Because he walked there with Jesus that day and he said, Peter, do you love me? Yes, sir. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. He had a word from Jesus, and it had not been fulfilled. He's got faith in the word. What comes after faith? Grace. All right, so he's asleep. He's sound. How do I know he's sound asleep? Okay, it says, He was sleeping, because it says he was, between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers of the door kept the prison. But he didn't just barely sleep. Look what the next verse says. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. Now, this wasn't a flashlight. This is the light of the glory of God that just comes on in the prison. This is the Shekinah glory. God's light shines in the prison. Have you ever been in your bedroom at night, and you're asleep, and somebody turns the light on? Doesn't it wake you up usually? He's still asleep. How do I know? Because the angel smote him on the side. Get up. He's in faith. Grace is getting ready to take place. Raise him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. Look at verse 8. And the angel said unto him, oh, brother, just stay on your couch now. Grace is available to you. Oh, there's so much grace for you because God has already delivered you. God has already provided a way. All you need to do is sit here on this couch and sing Kumbaya. And watch Oprah, you know, in between. No, that's not grace. The angel said, gird yourself. He said, put on your clothes. Bind on your, put on your shoes. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. This is the action of faith. He knows he's not going to die. He knows it. And he went out. And he followed him and wist not that it was true, that which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and the second ward, they came to the iron gate and leadeth them into the city, which leadeth them into the city, which opened unto them of its own accord. The word, this phrase, of its own accord, is the Greek word automatos. It's the only time the word automatic is used in the Bible. He says, the grace that's on him. Now, all of a sudden, he comes to this place, and the door automatically opened. Can I ask you a question? Would the door have opened if he wasn't standing there? No, if he was still in this jail cell, even though the light shined, even though the angel woke him up, even though if he had said, no, I'm not going to put on my clothes, I'm just going to wait here for the grace. I'm going to be translated. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. No, he got up, put on his shoe, because he believed. He believed. Put on his shoes. He thought he was having a vision. Put on his clothes. Walked, put on his robe. Walked out there. They got to the gate. And when they got there, it didn't open before. And to our knowledge, it never opened again like this. It automatically opened. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Verse 11, and when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. That is how grace works. You have the word of God. You're confessing the word of God. You're believing it with all your heart. And you're acting on whatever the word has said. You're acting on it. You're acting it out. You're walking in it. You're doing it. And now gates are going to open. That's grace. That's favor. You don't need favor to do nothing. I really like this. You know what that does for me? It says, Randy, get up and do something. Randy, don't care what they think, care what he said, do something. Do what God said to do. See, you understand, when I'm preaching this message, I got three fingers pointing right back at me. Grace is this enabling power that helps me get up and do what I'm supposed to do. See, the supernatural isn't going to be released until you're operating in faith, but faith is what's going to bring that grace that you need to do what he told you to do. And as you step out, the grace is there. It's there for everybody, no matter who they are. Faith without works is dead. Faith and grace are not going to accomplish overcoming the impossible in our lives as we sit inactive on the couch waiting for God. Ooh, man, I'm just waiting on God. No, God's waiting on you. He's already finished it all. He already did it. The grace, we already found out. We found out from John. The grace is for every, we've already been supplied with it. It's already there. He's already tailor-made the faith for you.
You already have both of those elements. All you got to do is sell out to the Word. Speak what it says. Don't, nothing else. Take the Word of God. Operate in the graces you believe. The woman with the issue of blood received the grace of God to be healed only after she heard, said, did, and now the grace came. The apostles, the grace was on them for the miracles only when they, after they got up and preached the gospel. See, the same is true for you and me. The grace is available. It is there as we operate. Man, when you got born again, you received the free grace of God after you believed, confessed, and now grace could come to you. It all works. As you received Christ Jesus the Lord, the Bible says, so walk ye in Him. You walk with Him the same way you received Him. Grace comes when we hear the Word. Believe the Word. Act on the Word. Grace is there to do the works that He called you to do. Isn't this awesome? I mean, that tells me something. Every one of us this week need to be in the Word, doing something with the Word so the grace can come on our lives. But Pastor, I just need the grace to get me out of debt. Hear the Word. Act on the Word. The grace will come. Most of the time I find out it's not about what I don't know. It's about what I do know that I'm not doing that I'm supposed to be doing. Because I'm just too lazy to do it. Paul said, I'm not going to frustrate this grace. I am what I am by the grace of God. I'm not going to have it in vain. He said, because of this grace is here, because it's there, I labored more than everybody else. Grace causes me to move. Praise God. You see, we know this. Jesus came. He died. Man, He died for me. He died for you. Grace was available. And then all of a sudden, the third day, He rose from the dead. Ooh, He was ascended to heaven, and all I have to do now is believe in my heart. I mean, I believe. Don't you? Do you believe that? That Jesus died? He never sinned. He died for you. And He rose from the dead. How many of you would say, I believe that? I believe that. Now just say, oh, here, there's only one piece left. Here comes the grace. All you got to say is, Jesus, be my Lord. Can you say that? One, two, three. Jesus, be my Lord. Say it again. Jesus, be my Lord. One more time. Jesus, be my Lord. Now, if you just said that and you believe that, you're saved. You are born again. Grace now. Boom. Just happened. If you just prayed that for the very first time ever, I'd like for you to just raise your hand real high. We're looking for more grace. Anybody? You've never prayed that. You may, listen, see, the holy man can't pray for you. I can't pray for you. You got to pray. And if you said that, you just now got born again. Anybody? No? Then I believe we're all born again. We've already prayed for you to be healed. And when we did that, when you came up, man, I'm telling you, grace came. Because we obeyed what He said and we believed it. Amen. Why don't you stand with me this morning? Father, today, we honor You for the grace. Lord, we don't want to use the grace in vain. We don't want to be people who just are a wishing and a hoping things. We want to be people who are firmly grounded in Your Word. People who can operate in the grace of God without fear, without doubt. Lord, I thank You for this congregation of believers. I know this, they're doers. They'll do whatever You say, and they'll go for it, and grace is all over them. I thank You, Lord, that we walk in that blessing this week. I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.